thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
We're going to be in the book of Psalms all year. Last week, we looked at Psalm 119. Today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 37. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 37. I'll be reading verses 1 through 11 today. If you're able to stand, let me invite you to rise for the reading of God's word. Of David, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Thank you, Father, for these words of King David. As we look at them today, as we read them, as we study your word, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would draw us closer to you, that you would transform us from the inside out. Help us to see you today. We worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, please be seated. Author Elizabeth Janeway said this: powerful people get away with things. That's one way to demonstrate their difference from the rest of us. Do you ever wonder, or do you ever witness that sometimes people who aren't doing the right things are just getting away with everything? Or you're working really hard to do the right thing and no one's recognizing your good work. But the people who cheat are the ones who are advancing and they're just getting away with it. And when you see that, how does that make you feel? You know, some of us, we get upset, and that's rightfully so. Sometimes we cry out to God, "Not fair, God." But then some of us will say, well, if he's getting away with it, or if she's getting away with it, oh, maybe I'll go that route as well, right? So we're tempted to follow their way. I remember as a kid, whenever I got in trouble, it's because I saw my friends do things and they got away with it. Or my siblings, I have two sisters. We try to scheme things and I'll have my sister do something and she gets away with it. So, okay, well, let me try that. And then I try to follow as well. And then, of course, I always get in trouble, you know, and I'd always say, oh, this is so not fair. This is so not fair. Some of us get really angry when we see the wicked or the evil getting away with it. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a wicked world. And so today's psalm really talks about how should we respond, how should believers respond, How should we as a church respond when the wicked prosper? Because the wicked will prosper here on earth right now. Because we live in a wicked world. We live in a fallen world. So how should we respond? And today's psalm actually talks about it. I don't know if you caught it, but the last verse that I read, verse 11, sounded a lot like one of the points Jesus makes in his Sermon on the Mount, right? The meek shall inherit the earth, right? A lot of us are familiar with that phrase. The meek shall inherit the earth. And a commentator named Derek Kidner said, there is no finer exposition of the third beatitude, which is that, than this psalm. So when Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth, he was actually pointing back to Psalm 37. And this is what he says in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And here's Psalm 37. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. So one could say that Psalm 37 actually talks about what it means to be meek. So it's a study on what it means to be meek. Another phrase we're going to be seeing over and over again in this psalm, but actually three times in the section that we have is do not fret or fret not, right? And what does it mean to fret? What does it mean to fret? Well, the word comes from, the Hebrew word is to burn up, to get fired up. Do you ever experience that where you see something and then you feel the heat from down in your gut, it just moves up and then your face turns bright red and you're ready to explode, right? Have you ever experienced that feeling? Well, you can't control it and you're just upset. You see something and you get really upset. So that's the idea of the Hebrew word here, do not fret. When it says do not fret, right? Red hot, burning with anger. So that's what that means. But it also could mean, you know, being agitated. Being agitated. Being anxious. Distressed. Troubled. Or just worrying about something. So all these can be tied to the word fret. And what causes fret? What causes us to be fret? So, natural disasters can cause us to fret. War. The pandemic. All these things. Things that are happening outside that we have no control over will cause us to fret. Another one has to do with our relationships. Not feeling belonged, feeling left out, loneliness, abandonment. And that's not just with those who are around us, but even our relationship with God. Sometimes we feel like we're all alone, that God is not there. Another way to describe that feeling is spiritual dryness. Have you ever heard of people saying, I'm just feeling so dry today? Right? I'm going through a dry season. And when believers say that they're going through a dry season, what does that mean? That means they don't feel connected to God. So, and when you're feeling that way, that could also be fret. Another one is, you know, health. Health causes us to feel this way. We just go through a routine checkup, and then the doctor calls and says, you need to come in. I can't talk to you over the phone. Right? I hate that. I get so nervous when I get a phone call like that. And then you start to feel anxious. You start to worry. And it's not just you personally, but it could be a loved one. whether it's your friend, whether it's your family member, your neighbor, a church member. You know, whenever you get that, you start to worry and you just feel anxious. And that's fretting. Just when the future is unknown, right? You apply for a job and you're not hearing back, you start to feel a little anxious. I wonder if I'll get that promotion. You know, all these unknowns causes us to worry, to be anxious, to be upset. And these are all instances or examples of what causes us to fret. So how, as believers, do we fret not? It's almost easier said than done. And this is not just mentioned in our psalm today, but it's also in Proverbs 24:19, right? It almost sounds like it's the same verse. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not fret because things aren't working the way you want it to, or be envious of the wicked spirit, or be envious of the wicked. Do not fret. So let's look at the first 11 verses of our psalm today. Psalm 37 is a wisdom psalm. So it's not speaking to God, but it's really speaking to man. It's also an acrostic psalm. So last week, I explained what an acrostic psalm is. It's the beginning of a verse or a stanza starts with the alphabet. So it'll start with Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and it'll just go down. And the reason why certain psalms are written that way is because it's easier to memorize. A lot of the psalms are songs. And, you know, singing songs is really a good way to memorize scripture. Right? I don't know if you notice, but sometimes there are songs that take Bible verses straight out, and we sing it all the time. And a lot of times we don't even know we're singing scripture. And I think that's a beautiful way to learn and memorize scripture. So this psalm is actually written that way. It begins with of David, right? So it's above verse 1, but this is still part of scripture. So it's of David. So King David wrote this psalm. He wrote this psalm when he was older. If you look at verse 25, it says, I was young and now I am old. So this is David looking back. This is King David, the man after God's own heart, the man who was successful in many things, but also failed in many things. This is David looking back. And he wrote this psalm as a wisdom psalm. You know, in our men's group, we talk a lot about mentoring. So every time, Dan's not here today, but every time you talk to Dan, at every breakfast, he has an agenda, and his agenda is we need to be mentored, and we need to mentor. I think that's really what he wants the men to do here at Beacon. And what is mentoring, actually? Well, mentoring is really sitting down with somebody who has more experience, maybe, but it's just sitting down with somebody where you're open and honest and you're asking questions and you're listening to one another. You know, asking good questions is really mentoring. If you know, if you have some wisdom, passing that on to somebody, that is mentoring. So imagine we have an opportunity to sit down with David, you know, at a coffee shop, and you have just some time with David. You know, I don't know about you, but if I were sitting down with David, I wouldn't say anything. I would just listen. Just let him talk. And this is the idea that David has is David is looking back and he wants to tell us something. So with that, let's look at what David has to say. Of course, he says, do not fret. Do not fret. Don't burn with anger. Keep it cool. Keep it cool. So what makes you bright red? What upsets you? You know, let's think about that. Right? So that would be a good mentoring question from here. When David says, do not fret. When the Bible says, do not fret. Then we should think, what makes me upset? What makes my face bright red? What gets me so upset that I let everybody around me know that I am upset? Right? Because when you're upset, you're not upset in private, right? You show your anger. You need to let somebody know you're upset. Even people when they drive, they want to let you know if you cut somebody off, you know, when the road rage happens, you got to let them know you're upset, whether that's honking a horn or driving erratically, just tailgating. You know, that doesn't help you at all. Right? So, but anger is one of those things that you have to let people know that you're upset. You know, and I'm guilty of that. I do that with my wife all the time. You know, even when she's not the one who upset me, I have to let her know that I'm upset. You know, I feel so bad when I do that, but not in the moment, right? In the moment, it's just, you get emotionally hijacked. And you're like, I gotta talk to somebody. I gotta talk to somebody, you know? Let me tell you what happened. And a lot of times you feel like a fool. I do. When I get all upset, and then my wife was like, well, didn't you do that? And, you know, sometimes she'll correct me in her gentle voice. And then I'd be embarrassed. So then when you're embarrassed, I'm even more upset, right? So instead of calming down, I'm like, I need to explode. So how do we get to the point where we could prevent that from happening? Right? Well, here, David is saying, do not fret because of those who are evil. Okay. So in this specific example, he's basically saying, mind your own business, right? Who cares? What's it to you that your neighbor is getting away with doing bad things? What's with it to you that, you know, he's speeding and he didn't get a ticket and you were barely speeding and you got pulled over, right? Just focus on you. Focus on what you have control over. And the longer I live, I'm realizing the less I have control over. When I was younger, I thought I could rule the world. I could do anything that I want. You know, now I'm realizing I can't even get my kid to just wake up on time. I can't do anything. No. So focus on what you have control over. And really what we have control over is, I can't even control myself. You know, all I have control is, you know, my relationship with God. You know, that's all that I have. So even me wanting to change, I can't. You know, how many times have I tried to say, all right, I'm going to exercise every day, you know? That lasts 2 days, maybe three, a good year, right? January is almost over. How are you guys doing with your New Year's resolution? You know, doesn't work. You know, I want to be healthy. Okay, I'm really healthy for 2 days. Like everything's 2 days for me. You know, that's my limit. I should set a goal like every 2 day, renew my goal, and maybe that will help me. But, you know, I can't even control myself. So I'm a failure at that. So even with that, do not fret. And he says, don't be envious of those who do wrong. Right? So just let it go. Let it go. Somebody cuts you off, let it go. You're not cheating. And because you're not cheating, you didn't get promoted. But those who are cheating get promoted. That's not permission for you to cheat. Just let it go. Let it go. Now, let it go, it's easier said than done. So for us to let it go, We need a complete shift in how we think. We need a complete shift in how we look at things, how we look at the world. And this is where David is helping us. The Bible is helping us. And what is it? Well, he's saying, the Bible is saying in verse 2, nothing lasts forever. For like grass, they will soon wither. Right? So don't be afraid. Soon. How soon? Yeah. We need to know. I need to know how soon. Just help me, God. Right? That's my prayer all the time. Just can you just let me know how much longer do I have to be in this pit? You know, I know you want me here. So I'm sitting here in the pit. How much longer? How much longer do I have to wait before the cheaters get caught? How much longer before I am recognized for all the work that I'm doing? That I'm trying to follow you. That I'm trying to do good. How much longer? And the answer is soon. Don't you just love that answer? Soon. It reminds me of when I was visiting Tanzania, and the folks in Tanzania are not time-oriented people, right? They're event-oriented. Us here in the West, Americans, we are time-oriented, right? Service starts at 10. So at 10 o'clock, whether we have three people here, or 30, or 300, we start. Right, because we're time-oriented. Why do we have to start at 10? Well, we have to start at 10 so that we could end before 12 so that those of us who are following the Buffalo Bills could go home and watch the NFL game, right? Because if the service started later and then the pastor starts preaching a longer sermon, you're going to be starting looking at, oh, and then we got to go, you know? I've actually seen people just leave, you know, because they had to be somewhere. Right? Because we are time-oriented. Tanzanian folks were event-oriented. So worship starts when the pastor says, we're ready. So a bunch of us were visiting Tanzania. It was a missions trip. And we go to this big church. And the pastor knew we were visiting from the States. So the pastor is waiting for us outside. And, you know, you hear, the church is a big church, you hear them just praising, they're singing, and I get there with the group, and the pastor greets us, and he orders his administrator to go get some tea, and they set up a table right outside the church, and he's offering tea. He goes, sit down, let's have some tea. And I'm thinking, well, shouldn't we go worship? And he's saying, no. You're our guest. You stay here. I'll tell them when we start. So we sat down, we're drinking tea, and he wants to get to know us. He's really taking his time. And I'm over here, and I'm a time-oriented person going, this will not fly where I'm from. But he talked to us. He wanted to make sure that, you know, we were comfortable. And then he said, okay, now let's go worship. So we all walked in. And then we worship, and then the worship was a very long service. Did you know there, they don't do one offering, you know? They do one offering, and the pastor looks in the plate and goes, not enough, let's go again. And he'll do it like three or four times, right? That's how they do things. I was like, oh, there's some things to learn, you know? Yeah, and then not just the church though. So then after the service, it was Sunday, you know, we had dinner, and then they dropped us off at our hotel. And our host, which was World Vision, said, we'll be here tomorrow morning to pick you up. So of course, all the Americans were like, what time? So they said 9. So, okay. So the team leader said, all right, everybody, so let's have breakfast at 8 o'clock. And let's get ready to go. We don't want to be late, so let's meet at the lobby at 8:50, and we'll leave. So you know, we had our breakfast, we sit down, and it's 8:50. We're all there, Then it's 9 o'clock, we're all there. And then it's 9:30, we're all there. And then it's 10 o'clock, we're all there. And then the driver shows up at 10:30. And by then, we're just all upset. We're fuming. You know, we were fretting, like, where are they? You know, and so he shows up and goes, okay, let's go, you know. And so the team leader is like, didn't you say you're going to be here at 9? And he goes, yeah. So that was his attitude. And then, and then once we left, it was fine. So we visited villages and, you know, we spent some time and it was a great time. We come back and then So the team leader's like, so what time are you going to be here tomorrow? And then the guy said, 9 o'clock, right? So then the next day, same thing, right? But he didn't show up at 10:30. The second day, he just showed up like 10:15. It was like a random time he just showed up, right? And then I realized, all right, These guys, they don't look at their watch. They are event oriented. We leave when everybody's ready to leave. So I learned very quickly, I'm a fast learner, that this is how they operate. So the next day, this other pastor and I, we looked at each other and goes, because we're runners, you know, so we looked at each other and was like, let's go running at 8:30. So we met up at 8:30, we went for a nice run, and we came back. And all sweaty, and the U.S. team, they were all ready to go at 9 o'clock, and we just came in, we took a shower, we had breakfast, you know, and we came down to the lobby at 10:30, and, you know, the driver wasn't even there yet. So I've learned how to adjust, you know. And once you learn how to adjust and know that that's how everything works, it's actually freeing, you know. Not living by the clock is so freeing. If you haven't done it, I encourage you to experience that. I don't know how you can do that here in America, but if you could live that way, actually my college kids live that way when they're home. They don't live by the clock at all, you know, but it is freeing, right? So when God says soon, I believe God is saying, I'm an event-oriented person, so it'll happen when I say so. You know, when I show up, that's the day, but you just have to be ready. Soon, though, means there is a definite end, right? So whether that's a day or a week or a month or a year, don't worry about it. It's going to happen. You just be ready to go. And that's what we need to do. And once we have that mindset that God, whatever God says is going to happen, we don't need to know when. He knows when. And let's have that mindset of being event-oriented, then we'll be good. Amen? Jesus said he's going to come back. He will come back. Amen? Jesus said, and Scripture says, David says, don't fret because the evildoers, those who are doing wrong, God's going to deal with them. They're going to soon die. They're going to soon wither. Then, amen. Trust in God. Amen? Our God is perfect. He knows the perfect time. We think we do, which is right now. But God knows. And he's going to continue to show us that we need to be patient. We need to be good at waiting. You know, hurry up and wait. You know, that's how we need to live as believers. And that requires trust. So in verse 3, he goes, trust. Trust in the Lord. If we trust in God, all our worries and anxieties and everything that David was talking about, that I talked about earlier, that all goes away if you trust in God. If you know that he's in control. If you know that he is good. If you know that he keeps his promises. If you know all that. And you trust in him, man, your life will be so much easier. As a church, we'll be able to live a life of faith so much easier if we could just trust in God. A lot of times our problem is we're trying to do the do's but we don't really trust him fully. We're not really ready to let go of all aspects of our lives. Now, there's one area in our life that we're holding on to and we're not letting go. And when you do that, you just can't fully experience God and trust him, you know, and we're gonna have anxiety issues. We're gonna worry. So trust needs to be the currency, and you know that, and that's faith. We need to have faith in God. We have to believe that all of his promises are yes and amen. We have to trust in the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. This is how we can look at the evildoers and not worry about it. That's the only way. But it's interesting here, because David is saying, Scripture is saying, not just trust in the Lord, but it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Did you see that? And do good. I thought it was all about just having faith in God. Well, here, not according to this passage, it's about trusting in the Lord and doing good. You do good no matter what. You don't do good because somebody did good to you. You don't do good because everything is going your way. Can you do good when things aren't going your way? How do you do good when things aren't going your way? Well, it begins with trust. You have to trust in God. So even when you're ill, or your loved one is ill, and you're just worried about the diagnosis, if you trust in God, you could do good. But if your focus is not on God, if your focus is on you and the issue at hand, it's impossible to do good in the middle of a storm. But it's not circumstantial. Us doing good is not circumstantial. So even when things aren't going well at work, you do good. Even if you don't get that phone call that you were waiting for, you do good. Even if you get a phone call that you weren't looking for, you do good. And we can only do that by trusting in God. And then he says, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. The imagery here is being a sheep. And for the sheep to really enjoy and dwell in the land, for a sheep to really enjoy safe pasture, you know, we need a good shepherd. A sheep alone can't enjoy safe pasture. That word safe pasture, safe. The only time a sheep will feel safe is when the sheep knows that there's a shepherd watching over them. And who is our shepherd? Jesus, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. Only when you know that you're shepherd and the interest of the shepherd is protecting you, feeding you, making sure that you can enjoy safe pasture, can you truly dwell in the land and enjoy it? And you can only do that when you truly trust in the Good Shepherd. He continues, take delight in the Lord. So you trust, you obey, and then you take delight. Delight in the Lord. Enjoy being with the Lord. It's not a transactional relationship. It's not if you do this, God will do this. It's, we just do this. Spend time with God. Enjoy God. How many here are enjoying the Lord every day? Delighting in the Lord. What does it look like to delight in the Lord? If you're delighting in the Lord, would you get so hot-headed when certain things happen that aren't going your way? See, David is looking back and he's passing on the wisdom to a loved one. And this is what he's saying. This is what I've learned. When you trust in God, it doesn't really matter. When you delight in the Lord, when you enjoy spending time with God, and really, when you enjoy spending time with God, he'll change your heart. All the things that used to bother you will no longer bother you when you're spending time with God. So if you catch yourself turning bright red all the time, if you catch yourself being upset when you see injustice and you want to take care of things, pause and examine your relationship with God at that moment. Where is God at that moment? Is he close by? Or is he far away? Most of the time, it's because he's far away. You had forgotten where God is and who he is, and you are not delighting in the Lord. You are not trusting in the Lord. And then here's a verse that gets taken out of context a lot. It says here, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Right? I'm going to delight in God. Now God, give me a nice car. Because that's the desire of my heart. That's the cry of my heart, is to have a nice car. It's the cry of my heart that I live in a bigger house, that I'm never cold. I want to be able to afford to turn up the heat to 72 instead of leaving it at 65. That's my struggle. But, yeah. But if you delight in the Lord, the desires of your heart will align with God's. Amen? Yeah. You know, it's not about being warm in the wintertime. Although I would love that. We see this example in Scripture. John 14:14 is another passage that we take out of context. It says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Yeah. That's the kind of verse you just tattoo, right, on your arm. Look, God, I tattooed that one. But if you look at the next verse, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Right? So they're kind of related, aren't they? Right? Ask anything in my name. Right? That's where in Jesus' name we pray comes from. But that's really not, it's not a formula. That's not what Jesus meant, by the way. You know, he didn't say, you need to end the prayer with, in Jesus' name we pray, and then everything will happen. In his name means in his character. Right? Name has to do with character. In his character. So how do you pray in his character? How do you pray in Jesus' name? That means your hearts are aligned. That means you're delighting in the Lord. And he molds you so that his way is your way. That's what it means to pray in his name. Of course, Matthew 6:33. This is one of the songs that I sang growing up as a young adult. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See the power of music? Do you guys know that? Am I the only one? I'm singing it in my head, right? Seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything else will be added unto you. Continues, commit your way to the Lord. See how he's just building on each other. He's just saying the same thing over and over again, isn't he? Doesn't it seem like he's just saying things, the same thing, just in a different way? Trust, commit, delight. Well, God's pretty simple. You know, he is saying the same thing over and over again. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. I love that. He says that, and he will do this. Right? So that means he's going to do it. You don't have to worry about it. You just commit your way to the Lord. You trust in him, and this is what God's going to do. No, he's not going to give you the strength. God's just going to do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. He will vindicate you. Our God will vindicate the righteous. He's going to prove right the righteous. And how is he going to prove right? How is he going to vindicate? Well, he vindicates through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? He will do this. My theology professor would say, underline this. He will do this. He will vindicate the righteous through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Then he says to rest. He says to be still before the Lord. The literal translation is quiet. Be quiet. Stop talking. When was the last time you were still before the Lord? In our busy world, in our hectic world, it's hard to be still before God. I won't do it right here, but sometimes in a mentoring group, I'll say, let's just be still before God for 15 minutes. It's hard. A minute feels like an hour when you're just trying to be still. And then he says to wait patiently for him, right? So wait patiently, and it'll soon happen. You see how this is all in an event-oriented structure? It works, right? Soon, wait patiently. And then he says again, do not fret. Right? Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Repetition means pay attention. This is important. So when in doubt, do not fret. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Okay. Refrain from anger. And this anger, it's not just anger towards your brothers and sisters near you. This is anger towards God, right? So refrain from it and turn from it, walk away from it, forsake it, leave behind it. And then he says one more time, do not fret, because it only leads to evil. Fretting leads to evil. Don't worry. Worrying leads to evil. Don't be anxious, because it leads to evil. And then he continues, for those who are evil will be destroyed. Okay. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. The land, the promised land, the blessing. You receive the blessing. Those who have hope in God will receive the blessing. So he's setting us up for verse 11, right? Inheriting the land, receiving the blessing. Who receives the blessing? Those who hope in the Lord. Who receives the blessing? Those who trust in the Lord. Who receives the blessings? Those who delight in the Lord. Who receives the blessings? Those who commit, trust, love. And then he says, a little while. Just like soon, right? A little while. And the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. So this is definitely going to happen. When? In a little while. In a minute. Soon. So. And then he ends with, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. So brothers and sisters, let me just show you a different version of this, by the way. Same verse translated differently. But the oppressed will possess the land, and they will take delight in abundance of peace. So, what's the one takeaway for us today? Class, church? Do not fret. Trust the Lord. Do not fret. Trust the Lord. When we see the wicked prospering, what should be our response? Do not fret. When things aren't going your way, what should be our response? Do not fret. When you hear bad news, what should be our response? Do not fret. How can we do this? By having a kingdom perspective. By changing our perspective from us to God. So we should refrain from envy. We trust in God. Wait patiently, knowing that His justice will prevail. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me just close with a couple verses. Apostle Paul wrote, do not be anxious about anything, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us trust in God. Amen? Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your presence in this place. And we thank you that all of your promises are yes and amen. Lord, we're here before you, Lord God, today, confessing that it is difficult. Life is hard. We need your help, Lord God. We need your strength. So I ask that you fill our hearts with your joy, and may your joy be our strength. Father, we pray for the peace that I just read, the peace that surpasses all understanding. May that reign in our hearts so that we may not be anxious about anything, so that we may not fret, Lord God. Help us to be a people that trust you. And we thank you that everything will come to an end, Lord God. Soon, and in a little while, this will happen, Lord. So we thank you for that. Help us to wait patiently for you. Help us to obey you always. Thank you for being our living hope. In your name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.